And I love how you changed your name again, Paige. P. Holla Cakes. Okay.
Yep.
I'm for it.
Yep. Thank you so much. All about the cakes. Boy. Again, hungry. It's fine.
Yeah, you're just teasing us. We're all waiting for lunch here.
Welcome, everybody, to our newest episode of And Here's Why with myself, Paige.
And Lauren.
We are a podcast where thoughts and feelings can be poured out about books, movies, and TV shows that get you in the feels.
We'll be tackling one topic per episode and typically with, but not limited to, guests joining us as well.
This episode, we have some very special guests joining us.
Yes, today we have our friends David and Amanda from Adapted for Your Viewing podcast.
Yeah, we know it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Just Adapted Pod.
Welcome, David and Amanda. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves.
Whatever you want to say.
Don't be so eager. Jump in there.
I know we totally forgot that we were going to have to do this part and actually introduce ourselves. We didn't talk about this beforehand. My name is Amanda, and this is my brother, David. Say hi, David.
Hey, I'm her brother. I guess I get second fiddle today.
Yeah, you get totally second fiddle. Yeah.
I'm just going to call out. I just feel like I've been little brothered immediately.
Yep.
Yes, he has his whole life. Yeah.
And we do a podcast together where we review books and then the movies based off those books. And we talk about them and tell you which one is good and which one sucks.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Good summary.
Plain and simple.
And we're super excited to be here. We're real glad we can talk about this show with you guys.
I have a lot of opinions on this one, yes.
Yes, so let's dive right into the Netflix original series that is Dead to Me. Bum, bum, bum.
Now this is going to get dangerous.
Let me just start by saying that I love their addiction to wine because I really relate and feel that. Shout out Stella Rosa because, yeah. I literally have a glass of wine every time I watch this show because I'm like, well, they're doing it. I'm not going to be rude and not participate.
It'd be disrespectful.
It would. It really would.
They do drink a lot of wine. It does throw me off every time they like switch to like hard scotch and I'm like, whoa.
That was aggressive.
We'll start with you, David. You're not second fiddle today. I promise you that. Rude. We'll start with you.
Down, Amanda.
What was your first reactions to Dead to Me?
So I'm gonna be honest, Amanda was like, hey, we're gonna do Dead to Me for this podcast, and I was like, oh, I've never heard of it. And then I went to Netflix and Netflix was like, no, you watched season one. I don't know if you remembered it, but you watched season one. So I completely forgot I had watched this, so I watched a quick recap and went back into it. And Dead to Me is a type of show I think that I've been weirdly addicted to on Netflix, and it is the type of show that is a 30-minute drama, which is excellent because you can binge it in a night, mm-hmm. and tries to find this like fine balance between comedy, drama, and like fantastic filmmaking that mm-hmm. a lot of shows can't do. So this is shows like Russian Doll. Now I can't remember any of them, but Netflix loves the one. I swear, guys, I swear.
There are others out there.
But it's a show that like tries to hit a very narrow niche that I just always love, of trying to balance a lot of things at once, all within a 30-minute time frame.
It's crazy how many emotions I feel in an episode. Just Christina Applegate is just fantastic. She makes you like feel Ted's death so hard. Then she would go and say something off mm-hmm. the wall and I was belly laughing.
Definitely dark comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Someone pinned it as a traumedy and I was like, yes, I love that.
Yeah, I loved how it sucked because from the beginning I knew that Judy was, there was something off there. And that was evident from the beginning. But I really love how their friendship just blossomed. And I was dreading the moment. You knew she was going to find out. I'm like, there's no way Judy's going to be able to keep lying to Jen about what happened and keep this huge secret. And I honestly liked the way that it was revealed and stuff. I thought that they did a great mm-hmm. job handling that situation and still allowing like a balance of their friendship. I'm like, if that ain't love, I don't know what is. So... You killed my husband, but it's fine. You didn't mean to.
So I'm going to kill your fiance.
Want to have wine?
Yeah, literally. That is 100% how that goes. Like, just such an eye for an eye situation.
And then the second season is just the inverse of that. The exact same thing happens.
I don't know. Hold on. Let me make sure I get this note exactly correct because, okay, yeah. Nope. I wrote down Ted sucked, but RIP.
Yeah, but James Marsden, man. How good is he?
Yeah, I think at first when the plot point in the second season came up and they were like, oh, yeah, he had a secret twin you didn't know about. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Just give me more James Marsden.
Total really Lifetime vibes. I was like, okay, sure. But also James Marsden. Okay, it's I'm like, on board.
This is stupid, but also more James Marsden.
Yeah.
I can get down with this.
It's a win-win.
And I only say that Ted sucked because what this show does so great is they reveal bits of information as needed. And mm-hmm. I like that it's not just first episode, Jen's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I saw him last when we were having a fight. And then also I know that he was cheating on me. And you find out very gradually that, wow, he was kind of like the worst.
No, I agree. Yeah. I was like, you dirty two-timer. Serves you right getting whacked with that car.
Oh. I don't know if I ever felt quite like that, but I did like.
Me neither. I was just saying some people probably did, you know.
Oh, right. Some people, some other people maybe.
My dog said that that's how they felt, so I was just voicing their concerns.
Oh, good.
Oh my gosh.
I do like that it made her grief really complicated. I think that's the strength of the first season is that she's wrestling so much with her grief. And that's why it made her such an interesting character that she was lashing out all the time and kind of a huge jerk half the time. But you really understood why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christina Applegate was just absolutely fantastic, especially season one. I think she's really good in it.
Well, I think the strength of the show is really the acting and dynamics between the characters because the two leads are just absolutely phenomenal because you can tell when they're just sort of riffing off each other and having fun with the roles. And that is when this show is at its greatest, is when it's dealing with a dark topic. And even though Christina Applegate cries in the second season more than in her entire career, I can still find myself laughing, which is crazy. And I think they deal with the character dynamics better than most shows. And that's what ends up hooking you in.
100%. And it's crazy that they didn't even really know each other before they started recording for the show.
Yeah, you would not know that.
They just started working together. And I guess one of the first scenes that they had really filmed for Dead to Me was when they're smoking pot at the beach under the blanket. The director just would have the scene end, but they would keep recording. They were literally just sitting there like getting to know each other. And they actually used some of that footage, which I thought was awesome. That it's like the spark of their also real life friendship that builds into this crazy, like, you killed my husband, but I love you. I think you're like a great friend? Question mark.
But like, Lauren, that would be us. Like, this bond is just something special. I'd be like, oh, I hate you, but like, can you cry with me, please?
Watch out, Thanny.
Oh, no.
I did, embarrassingly enough, identify with Jen a lot throughout the show. I don't know why. I don't think I would, you know, murder a human or anything.
Yeah, no, I think she's such a strong character.
I just felt bad for her, you know, because she loses her husband. She's been cheated on. Her kids are giving her a hard time. I'm like, dang, girl, get your life together. You know, like, it's just really sad. But I think, you know, after she kills Steve, she really makes that comeback. And I think that was the confidence boost that she needed. So.
Oh, my gosh. And even with Judy's new love interest, this is going to be so good for you, Judy. Like, I hope this works out. You're just rooting for her so much. You see that the bond with the kids has grown with Judy. Obviously, Charlie was like, get this freaky, stalker, crazy, nutty woman out of our house. And then, you know, he like starts really trusting her and enjoys her presence, dare I say. And I'm like, that is so cute. That is so sweet.
I did want to ask you guys, where do you think they're going to go as far as the direction for season three? Just think about season two finale, where we were left with Ben crashing into, was it Charlie, the older boy? His new car is what it was supposed to be. Like, where do you think we're going to go from there?
I'm a little bit scared for season three, if there will be one. I'm going to be honest, because I loved season one. But season two, I had some trouble with because, you know, the show teeters on being melodramatic a lot. Mm-hmm. And so it had these moments where it felt like I was seeing the gears of the writer's room, where it got a little over the top, where it felt like a soap opera at times. But it wanted to be a soap opera, but also have relatable Christina Applegate tier drama. And I found those conflicting a lot. And so even though I loved the characters, the plot just felt like off the freaking rails at times, where I was like, holy, what's going on here?
A little bit.
So I kind of hope they rein it in season three a little bit.
Yeah. I think what I missed from season one was things were happening and then they would show up later in the season. And I feel like that didn't happen in season two. Like there was a bunch of stuff like, I don't know, just like a bunch of stuff where you're like, ooh, I bet that'll come up later when all this stuff starts coming out. And then they have a scene where they just like fix it.
Boo.
I was like, oh, boo. Okay. I kind of agree. I don't know where they would go for season three. I mean, I think they've set it up where James Marsden's character blacks out and doesn't super remember, but then he also like kind of does remember when he drinks. So I don't know if it'll be that he figured out what Jen and Judy did and then hit them on purpose,
right?
Or if it was an accident. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, so for me, Charlie's got a big decision to make in season
for
three,
because
he finds the letter. It doesn't see him opening it and reading it, but you know he's gonna. And right in the text, it's basically like, I know you killed Ted, but like, I forgive you. So now Charlie's gonna have this moment of like, am I about to turn Judy in? And I think it mentions sort of like Jen also being guilty about something. And he was already sort of
suspicious.
Very suspicious of his mom just like having the car and all that stuff. So I'm sure he's going to put two and two together and be like, okay, so she killed Steve. Do I turn my own mom into the police? And it's just going to be this whole thing that I'm excited for, but I just want them to do it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of room for error just because it started with a hit and run. Season two ended with a hit and run. And I just hope they don't fall into a repetitive cycle of a plot, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
For season two, I wanted Steve to be secretly alive.
Yes.
Basically, like trolling them and for them to find him or something like that. I don't know.
What if he is? What if they actually killed Ben and like he took Steve's place and now Steve is actually who we think Ben is and he's the one that just hit them in the hit and run.
Y'all, this is Days of Our Lives at this point. That's what this is. This is Days of Our freaking
Lives. I'm on board for that. I definitely wanted something twisty like that to happen. I was waiting for like a big reveal halfway through.
If it happens, you heard it here first, folks.
I appreciated the moment in the car with Christina Applegate and the cop. But, I mean, you'll see that negative one times where a cop's like, I'm not going to be a cop right now. You committed murder, but, like, I sympathize with you, so we're just going to keep our mouths shut. And I'm like, pardon? In the moment, I was like, yes, this is so good. She's safe. And then after the episode ended and I really got to, like, let those thoughts marinate.
Yeah. We're like, was that ethical? No.
I feel like there's a shocking lack of lawyers in this show.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up with that?
Christina Applegate goes to confess. Yeah. And I'm like, girl, you should definitely have a lawyer with you right now.
Yeah. 100%.
She's like, nah, I'm fine with this cop who hates me. I'll be fine.
It's fine. We're fine.
No.
I did love, though, when there were certain parts that you're like, oh my God, this one thing is going to happen. This is going to be crazy. And then it totally just like switches up and it's not a crazy moment at all. And that for me is the part where the balloon in season one, when they put messages in the balloon and they, you know, go
Yeah.
And there's a balloon that comes back and you're like, oh oh shit, that's Judy's balloon. Oh my God, she's mm-hmm. gonna see that, you know, whatever.
Because you then, know it's coming, but like, yeah. you just don't know when.
Yeah, yeah, and then it's Charlie's just like, I wish we could play games again. And you're like, well, just tear my heart out.
It was really emotional. Lauren told me about the show and she was like, watch this. I watched 5 minutes. I was like, say less. I finished the first season within a few hours. I mean, I literally just watched yeah. it back to back to back to back. And then within 2 days, I was done. And I told her, she's like, you're done already? I was like, well, yeah, you said to watch it. And I like didn't have anything else to do. So like, yeah, we're done.
I did the exact same thing, Paige, where I was just like, oh, this looks interesting. Like murder mystery on Netflix. And I watched the first two episodes. And then I text everybody I knew. Yeah. And I was like, you guys have to watch yeah. this with me.
It is just the coolest mixture of things. And when I saw that Will Ferrell was a producer, I was like, this makes mm-hmm. sense.
I still think the greatest strength of the show is being 30 minutes. I cannot tell you how much I love the fact that we don't have like dumb D and C plots where they just like spend time meandering with like I could see in another show, the romance between her teen son and the girl that was like an Instagram star being like a full on season plot line. Instead, the show's just like, oh, yeah. no, we're going to cut a lot of that. And I love that. It's just so much more focused. I can get through mm-hmm. it in a single night if I'm feeling crazy enough to do it.
If we're going to get wild.
If we're going to get wild and watch 6 hours of TV like a crazy person.
And I hated her so much, that little Instagram twat.
Perfectly hateable.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? She also played the Kim Possible in the live action Kim Possible movie. And I'm like,
was that oh, her?
Yes. I was like, Kim would never do that, you scumbag.
You faker.
Yeah. I was so pissed. I'm like, hashtag not my Kim.
Now, who are your guys' favorite side characters? Because this show builds out like a fun world of side characters.
Karen.
Yes.
Is that her name?
Karen was everything. Just her. She's got her own drama. Her husband's always gone. She's like running yeah. over mm-hmm. just to get some attention. And it's sad, but it's also hilarious. So we all need a Karen.
Or Christopher. I love Christopher. The realtor, her partner, realtor
oh.
guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He leads the choir. That... Yes.
And let me just make a note. That little, what's the youngest kid's name?
Henry.
Him in that little harmonizers group at the church. That is Paige's future son.
Absolutely. Except I'm the coach.
Literally.
I also really like Shandy, the like weird kid across the street.
I think Ew.
She's,
really
funny. She's so funny.
She is such a good character because I'm just every time she comes on the screen, I just get goosebumps. I'm like, you're gonna say something so yeah. weird in a second.
She's like, Shandy took this from the crime scene, and then she ate it.
I killed the bird. I'm like, of course you did, Shandy.
Yeah, we all knew she did it. We all knew she did it.
That wasn't a mystery. It was not a mystery to any of us.
Not even a little
bit.
It
wasn't. No. I was seriously just waiting on that to reveal itself because I was like, there's, you know, she did it. Oh, we were just playing and no.
What an unlikely alliance. Like Shandy yes. and Henry friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
Those playdates are probably so weird.
Yeah, definitely that one friend that knows way too much about everything and that's how you're getting your information.
Uncomfy.
I do think Pastor Wayne's pretty funny too because he's just like genuinely trying to help Christina Applegate. She's so mean to him all the
time. I know, he's coming from such a good place and you know he's doing the best he can.
I loved that little moment between them though where they just like are drinking together by the fire pit and they have like a really honest moment. I think we all needed that because all the other yeah. times she was looking at him like F you, so.
And talking about how stupid everything was. And
that's kind of why this show felt like kind of special, where there is like this like weird, like super intense suspense going on throughout the whole season. But then you have like these really small but beautiful character moments where people are just being genuine with each other too. So that's nice. Yeah, it's definitely a different show.
Yeah, there's this really powerful scene at season two where Judy and Jen are in a garage and they sort of reveal everything to each other. Jen confessing that she actually killed her fiance, that, you know, it wasn't self-defense. It was very clearly murder. And Judy admitting that she wants to go to the cops and save face for everybody. It was such an amazing scene where they are just putting it all on the line. It felt like an Oscar-worthy performance of them screaming at each other. It felt very raw because they weren't even saying a lot of things. A lot of it is just screaming at each other, just wishing the other person would come back to them, even though it's like the most messed up sort of relationship in the world because they murdered yeah. each other's significant others who hurt them. And so it's an incredibly powerful, emotional, and like cathartic scene for what it is.
I think that the reason this all worked is because, like you just said, the significant others hurt them. You know, Jim was cheated on. She didn't know it at the time, but she was cheated on. And just how Steve did Judy with everything, I felt like if that part of the plot were non-existent, then their entire friendship would not work. But because they were hurt, it's almost like they channeled that anger into, hey, I low-key appreciate that. Like, it really sucks, yeah. but like also hats off to you because I feel like that was needed. So
yeah, the entire show just builds up to a really interesting but strong female friendship, mm-hmm. which is super unique.
And I loved that scene where you see Judy's like cuts out the actual like artwork and there's just stacks on stacks inside.
So many fat stacks.
Yeah, that got me. That was pretty good.
I was seeing that though and I was like, you guys just literally got away with murder. Like, maybe like chill out a little bit on the illegal activity.
Yeah, maybe
like,
let's lay go low. Have a nappy nap.
Yeah, like just chill for like a month or two before you start dropping like fat stacks at people.
I know they have that pile of money that they give to that they give to Jen's mother-in-law and yeah. then they go buy a car. I'm like, guys, calm down.
A little obvious.
Yeah, the one like big complaint about the show that I have is actually the police chief is like the weirdest character ever. Like in all of his scenes,
yeah,
I don't yeah. know what's up with those scenes, but either his timing
it makes me uncomfortable. Or actor,
like, it makes me uncomfortable, but not in a way that's like, ooh, I'm scared of this guy. It's just like, was this guy actually filmed on a completely different set, and then they CGI'd him into this scene? Like, what's going on here?
He was very out of place. I felt that.
It was the only time I felt in the show it didn't have, like, the type of character rhythm I was really used to with all the other characters interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so curious to see what they're going to do about season three. Like, I'm genuinely nervous.
I can see this dipping way too into Desperate Housewives territory if it's not careful enough. Like, it is just like one more, it's like one dead person coming back to life plot point away of being Desperate Housewives.
I think what I really want to see is what if Jen and Judy just become these total Deadpool types, just anti-heroes where they're like vigilantes with some wine that just go around killing like bad dudes.
Mercenaries. I'm down for it. And then they're like, oh, but wait, we have to go get the kids from school real fast. We'll be right back.
The like killer but suburban Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
I kind of want to go an opposite way where instead of killing on purpose, people keep dying by accident around them and they have to continue covering it up. Because the best part of their dynamic is when they have to lie because they suck.
Yes, and
at
they're
lying.
So bad at it.
Like especially any normal Judy. Person could tell. Yeah.
I love when they're like, okay, we have to keep this secret. And then Jen's neighbor comes over with orange wine and she just loses it immediately. Like it was like 5 minutes ago, Jen, where you said you were going to be on top of it.
Oh, wait. We can't not talk about Abe.
Oh, rip yeah. Abe. What a sweetheart.
Yeah, he's pretty great. I thought his car was going to be like a plot point in season two, and then it wasn't really.
Oh, yeah.
It was like stuff like that in season two that felt a little sloppier than season one. Yeah. Season one is so strong.
Yeah.
So would y'all drink orange wine? Like, real talk.
Absolutely not. No.
I would try it. Would I like it? Probably not.
Because it does look like orange Jell-O that hasn't set yet.
It looks like Gatorade to me.
It does look like orange Gatorade to me.
I like more fruity, sweet wines. So I've had like pineapple, pear. Orange is just next on the list. Let me have it. I'll try
it. Yeah. You might as well just have some like Skittle wine at this point.
Ew!
Skittle juice.
What's wrong with that?
That's Skittle got juice. To be the name. Skittle juice. You're going to make millions. I believe in you, David. You're going to make millions.
I like how Paige is like, I'll give you $10,000 right now.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, is this Shark Tank? Because I will invest in your Skittle juice.
What is the tagline for Skittle juice? drank the rainbow.
Yep.
Skittle juice.
So drank with an A.
Get drunk off this rainbow, hun, or something like super weird.
Ew, no, don't, you can't throw hun into the end of that. Like, it's like, get drunk off hun. No!
I like how your guys' slogan is immediately promising being drunk. We're not, it's not a buzz. It's straight drunk. Yep. Skittle drink.
We're not hiding what this is supposed to do here, okay?
Get nasty, am I right? It keeps coming back to that.
Also, let me just make a note that Paige is one of the most aggressive hype women in the world. Like, David just merely pointed out something like, oh, this could be a good idea. Paige is like, yes, I'm going to throw money at your body and you're going to do this now.
Honestly, I'm a total, what is it called? It starts with an E.
You're going to need to be more specific.
I'm an encourager. Like, that's honestly, like, the personality test and stuff I've taken, like, it always says you're an encourager. Like, literally, whatever you want to do, I'm encouraging that. Someone called it an enabler, and it's not healthy, but I like encouraging. That's another keyword I was thinking of.
Yeah. Got it. I'm going to bring all of my ideas to Paige now. She seems like she's on board.
Stacks on stacks.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to make a lot of fat stacks. I'm just telling you right
but
now.
Like, also, if I'm not behind it, it's still going to be aggressive feedback, just negative. So just let you know.
High highs and low lows. It goes both ways.
It's going to get super dangerous and nasty.
I mean, now I'm kind of scared, but okay. All right, let's just jump into Skittle juice then.
Oh God! What are everyone's favorite characters? They can be main. They can be little side pieces. What you guys thinking?
Judy. I feel like Judy is just. I don't want to say I relate to her, but in a sense, she's a goody-goody, and she believes in doing the right thing. And I don't believe in karma, but I do believe in like the golden rule. And doing unto others and, you know, just that type of thing. So I feel like Judy and I, in a way, vibe. We're misunderstood sometimes. So I'm going to say Judy.
So then that makes sense why I said that I relate with Jen, because they're besties. So.
I mean, basically, yeah.
Let's go kill some people.
Yeah, you guys aren't hiding any bodies, are you?
Not that you need to know about.
That's a secret we'll never tell. XOXO, Paige and Lauren.
Girl. Oh, okay.
And then sip on the Skittle juice.
Yes.
And scene.
And scene.
A cop is currently listening to this and they're like, oh yeah, we got Paige and Lauren. Like, this is like an easy conviction right now.
Yeah.
Case 100%. Closed. I just love Karen so much because she is consistently the funniest person in the scene. When she comes up, I think there is this part near the end. I think it's like the last episode where Karen is on a run and Judy comes out just like needing to blow off some steam. And then she sees her and she's like, yeah, my husband and I are getting a divorce. I'm trying to get in shape, blah, 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 blah. And instead of like interacting with Karen, she felt like the audience felt and then just like ran the other way.
She was like, very funny.
She's like, I need to get out of here ASAP. I cannot deal with this person right now.
Yeah, she's like, I don't give two shits about your revenge body. Adios.
Yes.
I'd be hard pressed to say if Karen's not my favorite character, just because I feel like every time she showed up, it felt like such a moment of levity in what was going on. But I think James Marsden's twin brothers were maybe my favorite. I think they were really solid. James Marsden does such a good performance for both of them. Mm-hmm. I totally believe they're two different people. And he's so convincing as a huge a-hole in season one. And then so convincing as this pansy in season two. And I'm on board for both. I think he does such a really good job. So, I mean, I'm loath to say, I mean, the two female leads are amazing. But I really like James Marsden supporting them.
I got beef with Ben. He's the pansy brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got beef with him? Why?
He's so sweet.
Yeah. Oh, see, he got you. He got you.
Okay? You've been
you
fooled.
You fell into his charm. You've been fooled. You were tricked. Oh. You saw those abs and
bamboozled.
Dying. Bamboozled.
It is a little hard to believe that he has a hard time being in a relationship when he's...
It's a hard time to believe because he's like recanting his past. He's like, man, I still feel so insecure because I'm super hot. But when I was 10... I dealt with like this heart thing and now I got a scar on my chest, but now I got sick abs and I'm in my 40s and I'm still dealing with this. I want to be like, dude, grow the heck up.
He did say he had a teenager, didn't he? So I think he has like a past. Maybe we'll find out in season three.
He gives me, like, David summed that up perfectly. It's just like when you watch The Voice. Everybody's got a sob story. Some of them are totally irrelevant. I'm like, guys, we all have things that we go through. To use that as leverage on a singing show? What? That's so dirty. Like, I hate it. Everyone's like, oh my gosh. And I'm not trying to make light of people's circumstances, but like, to put it into perspective, people are like, yeah, man, like my dog's grandma's second cousin squirrel had cancer. And I'm like, what the heck does that have to do with you being here and singing? Like,
yeah, my dad's a potato farmer, you know, really poor, but like, I'm here to do a sick falsetto, man.
Yeah, I'm like, I just hate when people highlight things like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's literally how you're going to be remembered. Like, make a name for yourself. Get up and grow up. I can't.
Do not tell your life story to Paige. She will.
I don't want to hear your sob story. I will only tear you down further.
Wow. No one cares about the cancerous squirrel, okay?
Yeah, okay. He's fine. He's in the big acorn in the sky. Get over it.
The big acorn.
Where have we come? Honestly, what's going on right now?
Yeah, we're way off track. Way.
I mean, I would like to have a more thought out favorite character like you guys, but yeah, I'm going to have to go with Jen. She's just an easy one that I connected with straight away, so... We'd be friends.
She's pretty solid.
Yeah, we'd be friends in real life, I think. As long as she like doesn't kill Ryan, I think we're good.
Well, you killed Ryan in this situation, right? True. No.
No, I'm saying Jen would be my friend in real life. But
someone's getting murdered, though. Like, that's how it works with friendship.
It has to happen that way.
Yeah, you're like wanting something that can't happen. Yeah.
So then maybe not. Maybe I'll appreciate her from a distance. Yeah. Way to crush my dreams, David.
That's what I'm here for. To be fair, nothing good happens when you're friends with her. Like, most people have not come out on top.
These are facts that I can't deny. I feel like we're going to see a lot less charming, adorable pansy Ben. And in season three, he's going to be super alcoholic, very strange, and just out of it Ben.
He may be on a revenge seek. Quest or something.
Revenge quest.
I like that.
Revenge season three. Dead to me, : revenge quest.
And I'm mad that I haven't heard anyone yell dead to me yet. When Jen finds out that Judy's the one that killed Ted at the end of her, you know, screaming rant, I was ready for her to be like, you're dead to me. And I was going to be like, pew, 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 pew.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
You wanted like a roll credit scene?
Yeah, but it never happened.
They're saving that for the last season. Like,
that'll be the last words of the show.
They drop a rose into James Marsden's grave and say, you're dead to me.
Oh my God.
You're dead to me, boy.
But that is such a satisfying moment.
It's going to be one of the Greek mafia that drops the rose. You're dead to me.
Yeah. I guess, you know what? Season three can just be all about Greek mafia, though. I'd enjoy that. Just an expansion of the Greek mafia.
What is it with men and the mafia?
No, it's olive oil. It's Greek mafia, you know?
Yeah.
It's the Greekness of it.
By the way, guys, spoilers.
I know. I was thinking about that as we were like about 10 minutes in. I was like, oh, we didn't say anything about spoilers. But I mean, they should know by now, honestly. Like,
just, yeah, you can fix that in post. That's fine.
Nah, I'll leave it. This is better. This is better for the moment. Anyone that's listened to us before knows that we don't do the nice thing that Amanda and David do where they're like, spoil free for the first half. We're like, nope.
No, not even.
Yeah. I just have too many feelings about things that need to be revealed straight away. So it's like I just come in hot right out the gate.
Okay. One thing we didn't talk about. What did we think of Ted's mistress?
I have like already forgotten about her.
Yeah, Bambi.
Wait, should we say it? Bambi. Amanda's like, I forgot about her. Well, she's dead to me, so.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Nice. All the listeners have stopped. They ran away.
They have signed off.
Dropped my mic.
Lauren just left the chat. Oh, but yeah, no, Bambi sucks. Clearly, Ted just wanted some young piece. I don't know.
I do really like the scene where they confront her, though. I thought that was a really good scene between Jen and Judy. Yeah.
And here's the question. Would you do that? Would you confront someone kind of inconspicuously like that?
100% absolutely.
Same.
Yeah. I would be too curious.
Oh.
I wouldn't be able to not go and check it out.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm so nosy.
I feel like that same situation would have played out for me, though. Like, I would have gone just to, like, meet the girl, see how she is, and then I would just know internally that I would need to leave before I completely lost my stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And then whatever probably you, Paige, you would be the one that stays behind and you're like, actually, I'm Ted's wife, so catch these hands.
And by the way, he's dead, so.
Yeah, literally. You would be that
just
petty.
Savage moment. Oh, I am the queen of petty, okay? Don't even get me started.
She sees red and it's just over from there. I'm like, okay.
It's just when people act stupid. You know what I mean? If you just like honestly, genuinely didn't mean anything by it, but if you know people and just how they act, I'm like, Queen P is what they call me and the P doesn't stand for Paige. So
I feel like I've heard like 18 different nicknames for you this episode. Like they call me you got a lot of people calling you a lot of things.
You ain't lying, David. You ain't lying.
It'll be easy to get away with murder because they'll be like, we're looking for P. Holla Cakes. Who is she?
Yeah. The bad baby. Maybe you know her by the Punisher. I don't know.
Wait, was that supposed to be what the P stood for in Queen P, Queen Punisher?
Queen Petty. Queen Petty. We were talking about Petty. I thought I'm that was it without saying.
Okay.
See, I'll defend you. I'll be like, Paige, the encouraging investor of Skittle Juice? No, she would never do such a thing.
She could never.
Impossible.
Not. She'd never hurt a soul.
All her money is tied up in Skittle Juice right now. She doesn't have time.
Clearly. She's so busy.
This needs to stop.
I don't know. I think this Skittle Juice is a runaway train. We might as well get on it.
Yeah, honestly, if you guys want to leave a comment or something in regards to the Skittle Juice, we would love feedback. Just
Skittles Company, reach out.
I'm going to come out right now with a hot take and say I hate Skittles.
What?
I thought you were going to say, I hate Skittle Juice. This is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Maybe I'd appreciate it more in a wine, but the physical, just like candy itself, there's something about it. I can't get behind Skittles, but David, I will try your Skittle Juice if you make it better than the candy.
There you go. There's the bar, David.
All right. Better than, I'm trying to make a juice that's better than thing. Skittle Juice. It's better than Skittles.
Because it doesn't taste like them.
The bar is set low for me because I don't like Skittles. So as long as you make it a little bit more sweet, and I mean, you
Lauren,
already
it's literally straight up Skittles? Sugar. Like, how would you Skittles improve is that?
Skittles is just sugar covered skit or sugar
with more sugar.
So much sugar.
So take the sugar,
times it by five, yes. Put it in a bottle, and send it to me.
Yeah. I love how your tasting notes are more sugar.
Yeah,
Lauren's just more like, honestly, just hand me a teaspoon of sugar and we'll just call the kettle.
I see Lauren swirling the glass right now, putting it up to her nose and being like, sugar.
Literally. Like, when I die, if my body's not made up mostly of sugar, I didn't die happy.
She died the way she lived, full of sugar.
Noted.
So that's Dead to Me, guys.
So basically, that's the show.
David, Amanda, any other nitpicks or things that you really just, you loved? Little cricket bug.
I'm sorry, did you just say a little cricket bug, like from the Aristocats?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
I'm really glad that you said that.
Okay, that was really romantic. I'm sorry, please keep going. But like, wow, that was great.
Oh my God. Okay, I really hate us just a ton.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, I'll try my best here.
3, 2, 1, go. Yay-lo! Or is it YOLO?
Oh my God.
That was so good. Oh my God.
You're the best.
What a wonderful time.
You guys must have trained for that because there's just no way we were that.
It was just so natural. Like, yeah.
It's my favorite audio bit I've ever heard on a podcast. That's pretty good.
We are vocal synchronized swimmers. How about that? How about them apples?
Call us Michael Phelps because we're just doing laps in this synchronization. No.
Ooh, okay. That metaphor got away from you really quickly. You swam away from your own metaphor.
Reeling it back in.
Now you're a fisherman. All right.
Paige, where can they find you? Just tell them.
Yeah, so the people can all... Oh, wait, let me stop. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you. Oh. Leave us a review. Oh. Anyways, you can find me... You can find me on Instagram at paige.hollinsworth, and you can find our podcast at andheresy_pod.
And you can find me at Lauren H. Wrights. We're also, you know, both of our names are in the bio.
You can find us at Adapted Pod at all platforms, podcast players. Basically, if you search for at Adapted Pod, odds are you'll find us there.
I'm at Amanda Elegant on Instagram, and I sometimes post about books when I'm posting regularly. But I have a lot of reviews and stuff on there. It's a good time.
I wish I could stage my things as good as you, but I'm like, that's effort.
Aw, thank you.
So I appreciate that you do that for the world.
Well, that's super nice. I wasn't expecting that. I take like 100 pictures and then finally pick one. Yeah.
I've seen her
process. That is halfway decent. Yeah, my phone.
Oh my gosh,
my phone storage.
No, Amanda, you were supposed to be like, yeah, it's effortless. I just put down the books and they just arrange themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. No,
we'll pretend you said that. We'll pretend that's what it is. Super effortless, just like our quote.
Oh my gosh, these are amazing. You guys really need to go look at this. I'm shook right now. Like, I kind of thought I was on, like, a book version of Better Homes and Gardens or something. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting.
Paige the Encourager, coming back around.
I was just going to say, she's back.
Around. She's like, how can I invest? Back.
Thank you guys so, so, so much for coming on the show. We had so much fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And see you.